Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Oh, so good to see you. See a lot of old family and old friends. And not that you're old. You're not old. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So good to see you. Whew, isn't Jesus good? Isn't He good? Isn't He good? Anyway, see a lot of friends, and I've tried to meet most of you that I don't know, and if I haven't met you, be sure that I get a chance to meet you before we leave today. And everybody just relax for a few minutes, and we'll get done early because I was expecting them to sing longer. So we'll get done early, and you'll have chili, and they're going to let me know when the chili's ready. So nobody's going to get it until you guys go, okay? And anybody that shows up over there, you know, tries to skip the important part here, they can't eat until y'all get over there. So anyway, and so as soon as they tell me it's ready, I'll let you go. How about that?
Okay.
All right. Is that all right with you? All right. Praise the Lord. God's so good. He's so good. Anyway, I want to thank all of you for being here, all of you that have invited folks, and if you've invited people, if you brought 10, we'd appreciate it if you help us get information on them, and if you don't get it all, if you tell us you brought 10, we'll believe you, because you wouldn't lie about that. So, but if you are a visitor, we'd love to get a card filled out on you and get some information. We won't bug you, but we just... We like to let people know that we appreciate it when you come. And so much hard work's been done for today. And I want to thank everybody. And everybody's not in here. There's probably 100 or so over on the parking lot getting ready. And came in the middle of the week. And guys were here sterilizing all the chili pots and all the stuff they're going to make. They're making the chili in now. And people been here since 3:30 this morning doing stuff, and you know what? It was all for you, huh? It was all for you, so you could experience God's love, so that you and so I just believe for the Holy Spirit to do something special for you today. Anybody here needs something special from God today? Holy Spirit, I just believe that you know every heart that's here, and you know every person, what's going on in their life. And Lord, I just believe you to touch them and bless them. Give them something that they need today. Whoo, isn't Jesus wonderful? I just want to read you a couple scriptures, if I can find them here. One's in 2 Peter. It says, "The Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but He's long-suffering towards us, and He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I'll read you one more. It's in John, the 3rd chapter. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It says, "God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Holy Spirit, touch us today. Touch us today. Is it okay with you if I don't preach a sermon? You know how many sermons that I put together this week for today? It'd take 3 weeks to just begin to preach them, but if you don't mind, I just talk to you for a few minutes here, because you know we all say God loves you and God cares about you, but you know most of the time there's not a whole lot of us that believe it. And you know, we got so much stuff going on in the world today. There's so many things happening. I don't know if you realize it or not, but folks, we're in a mess. Huh? We're in a mess. This world is in a mess. And nobody knows who to turn to. Nobody knows who to call on for help. We know God can, and we know He would if He felt like it. But you know what? I'm tired of God getting the misrepresented so much. I'm tired of Him. We're blaming Him. We're blaming Him for, we call natural disasters, we call them acts of God. We're blaming Him for when somebody in our family dies or some of our loved ones die. We're saying that He took them. We got people telling folks that if they're sick, it's probably because they got something wrong in their life, and if they straighten it out, God would touch them. And you know, we're so confused that even Christians, we're so confused that half the time we don't know if we can go to God or not. We're so confused. You know, Peter said something else. He said, be vigilant, be cautious, pay attention, because your adversary, your enemy, the one that's after you, the devil, he's going around seeking whom he may devour. You know how he can devour you? Just by putting the wrong thoughts in your head and getting you to think about them. You know how he gets us? By perverting our picture of God. By giving us the wrong thoughts about God and giving us the wrong ideas and putting the wrong picture in our mind, and by telling us how bad we are and how we don't deserve anything and how could you dare go to God. And you know, but I'm here today to tell you, God loves you so much that He sent Jesus for you. He loves you so much that He cared about every area of your life, and He sent Jesus to you, and you don't have to perish. Now, I know there's some sitting in here, and you don't know for sure that you'd even go to heaven if you die. Well, that's why you're here. Because you're going to know before you leave. Okay? And there's all kinds of folks in here. Some sitting here and you don't know. You've never made a decision for the Lord, or you've just half-heartedly made one, but it never produced anything in your life. That's why you're here today. There's some of you here that you've made a commitment to God, but you've just kind of drifted a little bit. You've just kind of wandered off a little bit. And you know, that's why you're here today. You're here today so that God can touch your life and bring you back. Because you got an enemy, you got a devourer that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy your life. He's trying to steal all your hope. He's trying to kill all your dreams. He's here to destroy your life. Because you're God's creation. Because you're the apple of God's eye. Because the truth is, you've got the position with God that He wanted, and He doesn't have it. You know, and so we're filled with all kinds of things. And I had somebody the other day said, well, how could a God that loves us so much let this happen? And it amazes me how many Christians, we don't have an answer to something like that. Well, it just must be God's will. Well, He let that happen so he could teach you something, or so that something in your life could change. And you know, listen, we have Jesus summed it up when He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so you could have life, and you could have life more abundantly. Huh? He drew the line in the sand. So let me tell you, if it's good, it's from God. If it's bad, it's from the devil. Now some of you don't act like you believe that. Huh? Take all your religion and set it aside here for a minute. Because we're not going to talk religiously today. We're going to talk brain or chain breaking, load lifting. We're going to talk setting free. We're going to talk about a Jesus that came so that every area of your life, He could be involved in it. And you could live life and you could live it more abundantly. You see, now we don't understand, and probably most of us do, but just in case you don't. You know, I was trying to think of an illustration that could cause you to understand, well, how come all this is happening, and how come that's happening, and how come this is happening in my life? I love God, and she got cancer, and I know she loves God, and you have an enemy. Let me ask you something. If you had a business and you built this business up from the ground and this business became a very successful business and you had just so much going on, you just had so much happening and you decided that you were going to give somebody a power of attorney to help you run that business. And you were going to leave the country for a while, and so you gave somebody power of attorney to operate that business. Did you know that if you gave them power of attorney, they could even sell that business? They could do anything with that business that they wanted to? They could spend all your money? You couldn't do nothing about it? Oh, by the way, don't give anybody power of attorney, okay? They could sell that business, and when you came back, you'd be on the out. You did something to try to help them, something to try to be big enough, but when you came back, you'd be on the outside looking in. You know, that's kind of what happened with God. God made the earth. Anybody ever wonder how this stuff happens and how the devil can get away with it? How all this stuff can happen and happen to Christians? And God made everything. Made everything, and then He created man. And He put man in the middle of it, and He said, Adam, I made all this for you. It's all yours. And in a sense, He gave Adam power of attorney. He said, it's all yours. Have dominion. Take it. Rule it. This place is yours. I made it just for you. I'll come down and walk with you. I'll come down and visit with you, and I'll help you. I'll help you and show you what to do and help you make decisions. And I'll come down, and you and I will just walk together every day, and we'll just have a big time. And we know the story. Sometimes we tell these stories so simply. I mean, we tell them so, and they just become commonplace to us. And it's just kind of like we're telling a story sometimes about Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. But man, listen, God's the only thing that's real. God's the only thing that we got going for us. But He made Adam. He made this earth. He made Adam. He gave him power of attorney. He gave him dominion. He gave him authority. He said, this is yours. You run it. Well, what did Adam do? He gave it away. Did you ever notice Jesus called the devil the god of this world? Did you ever notice that? Do you notice whenever the devil took Jesus up on the, and you know, the temptations when he was fasting, took him up and the devil offered him all the kingdoms of the world? Can I tell you something? It wouldn't have been a temptation unless the devil really had those to offer. Does that make sense? Are you with me? And so what happened was Adam gave this away. He gave the enemy the power to come in. You know, there wasn't any sickness here to let happen? Huh? There wasn't any death here to let happen? Do you know you're not designed to die? Huh? Don't you be telling somebody God took them. God didn't make you to die. God made you to live. You never noticed there wasn't any of this? There wasn't any poverty. There wasn't any lack. There wasn't any sorrow. There wasn't any sin. There wasn't any murder. There wasn't any of that stuff until after Adam gave it away. That's what the enemy brought in. Now what the enemy wants to do is, he wants to try to convince you and me that it's God that's doing all this stuff to us. Huh? So do you see how God is? God's on the outside looking in. He's going, what do I do? What do I do? You know, here I am. And so, did you ever notice that for God to do something in here? Now God's sovereign. He could just wipe the devil out. Yeah, I mean, he's not a little timid something here sitting in the back seat, but there's something about God is he'll never lie. And he'll never say anything and go back on his word. And so here he is, he's on the outside looking in now. Did you ever notice that when God wanted to do something in the earth, he came and found a man or a woman to do it? Huh? He was going to wipe the whole earth out one time, he was so mad. But he looked down there and there was old Noah. And Noah was standing there going, wipe me out if you want, God, but I love you with all my heart. Just do whatever you want to do, God, but I love you and I'm going to serve you no matter what. And he said, hold the plan, man. Noah, I want to make a deal with you. I want to make a covenant with you. Did you ever notice when he wanted to start the plan, he prophesied the plan to Eve whenever they first sinned, whenever they first gave it away. He told the devil, going to be one going to come, going to bruise your head. Did you ever notice when he wanted to set that plan up, he came down and he found a man named Abraham. Made a covenant with him. Made a deal with him. And he said, I'm going to bless you and your seed. He said seed singular. He didn't say seed plural. He said seed singular. I'm going to bless you and your seed. He made a deal with Abraham. He made a covenant with him. And all through the Old Testament, people are looking forward to that Messiah coming. Well, how does he get away? Well, see, he's still in control of stuff in this earth. But here, let me tell you the deal here. The deal is when Messiah came, when Jesus came, he cut a new deal with God. God said, I love you so much that I'm sending my son for you so that you don't have to perish. Did you ever notice why in John there, Jesus made a statement? He didn't send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Boy, that'd be a sermon right there, wouldn't it? Huh? See, y'all came today, and so what I need to do is I need to preach real hard, and I need to get you under condemnation, get you feeling so guilty that you want to change something and do something, and if you're lucky, you might stay that way for a week or two. How do we get that ministries here to condemn? Here to beat you up? Jesus said, I came to give you some life. I came to give you some help. This is what I want you to see. Yes, all this stuff's happening out here because we still have the God of this world, the devil. We still have him. But Jesus came and he cut a new covenant. He cut a new deal with God. And now I heard something and it just rang in my spirit. You know, how many here are saved? How many ever say, I'm the righteousness of God? That means I'm in right standing with God. Well, you are, but you're not the righteousness of God. Jesus was. Jesus is. And I'm the righteousness of God in Jesus. This is what I want you to see, because Jesus said here, he said, if you don't believe, you're already condemned. So if you believe, you're not condemned. If you believe in me, you're not condemned. But if you don't believe, you're already condemned. Do you see what I'm saying? You're already condemned because of what Adam did. Can I say something? If you miss heaven and go to hell, it won't be because of all the bad things you've done in your life. It'll be because you never received the price that was freely given for you. Huh? Because you receive Jesus. This is all I want you to see with that. Didn't mean to get so involved in that story there. But I want you to see, yes, the devil's at work. But we get into Christ. We get into Jesus. Now he doesn't have authority over us anymore. Huh? Now he can't just do anything to us he wants. If he could do what he wanted, he would wipe out the whole earth today. He'd kill everybody today. But he can't do what he wants. And when we become in Christ, when we become that new creature, when we become and get into that family with God, then he doesn't have that authority over us anymore. Now he can still trick us. He can still trick us because we didn't read the contract. He can still trick us because we don't know all about Jesus. We don't know what he did for us. He goes around. See, all he wants to do is to get you to think the wrong things about God. Because if he can get you to think the wrong things about God, I mean, hey, how are you going to pray for God to heal you if in the back of your mind somewhere you think that he might have been the one that made you sick? Huh? I'm just saying, hey, you got to remember something. God loves you and he cares about you and you're important to him. When it says God so loved the world, I like to zero that down because God so loved you. He so loved me. If you were the only one, he'd have gave Jesus for you. If you were the only one, he loves you. I love what Romans said. If God didn't spare his own son, but yet gave him for us, won't he also freely give us all things? What's going on in your life today? What's the enemy trying to do? You know, some of you here, you haven't made a decision for him. Some of you here, you haven't ever been saved. Some of you here have, and you just kind of hadn't been living for him. But many of you here are saved, and you're living for God, and or trying to, and still something's going on in your life, isn't it? See, he didn't say that all the bad stuff wouldn't still be in the world. He just said we could get in the ark. He didn't say it wouldn't rain. Just said, now we got something to ride in. Huh? We can do like old Moses. We can back up into the crevice of the rock. Didn't say bad things won't happen. But he did say, hey, he said, I'll be with you always. I won't leave you. And everything the enemy does for you, tries to do to you, everything he tries to do to you, if you'll just keep believing, if you'll just stay with me, if you'll just not give up, I'll work it out for your good. I'll make it for your strength. If you just won't quit, just won't give up. You know, now, if I said who here'd quit God, probably nobody'd quit God. But you know, we quit inside. We get thoughts of discouragement. We get thoughts of, bad things happen to us. Sometimes we even get mad. We face all kinds of obstacles. But the enemy, what he's trying to do is he's trying to convince us, give us the wrong picture of our Heavenly Father. Give us the wrong picture of our Heavenly Father. That's all Job, the book of Job, was about. All the stuff he did to Job. And if you read it, God didn't do it. The devil did it. He did all those things to Joseph or to Job, and the one thing he was trying to do, he told God, if you'll let me take away his wealth, if you'll let me take away his kids, he went to him all these, if you'll let me do this, if you'll let me do that, he'll curse you. Or in other words, he'll blame you for doing it. Well, Job just stuck in there. He just didn't quit. He just didn't give up. And when it got done, he had twice as much as he had before he started. I just want you to know today that God loves you, that he cares about you. You know, in the book of Luke, 15th chapter, there's three little parables. And I'll wind it down here. There was a lost sheep. There was a lost coin. And there was a lost son. Now, I love that chapter because there's many lessons that we can learn from it, and we've heard a lot of different sermons preached out of it. But I love that because it let me see a little bit of God's heart. The first one was the sheep. And you know the parable, most of you do. Been hearing them since we were little kids. But the lost sheep, and the Bible says that the shepherd left the 99 sheep and went after the one that had gone astray. I mean, that sheep that had drifted off was important. And I see God's heart in this, because you know sheep aren't the smartest animals in the world. It really wasn't a compliment when God called us sheep, I don't think. But can I say something? The sheep didn't get lost on purpose. The sheep just kind of drifted away. I mean, he was eating grass, and he looked over here, and there was some grass that looked a little greener, and so he went over there and ate some, and then looked over here, and there's some little greener, and he just kept little by little getting further and further away. He hadn't done it on purpose. He didn't realize it was happening, but pretty soon he was lost. He looked around, and the shepherd was gone, and all the sheep were gone, and he was all by himself. You know, I don't believe anybody intentionally drifts away from God. I believe it happens just a little bit at a time. And we just get to pay attention to this and pay attention to that and thinking about this and thinking about that and focusing on this and focusing on that. We still are saying we love God and we still are thinking he's with us, but all of a sudden we find ourselves in a place and we're all by ourselves. We're lost. We're lost. Now, listen to this. What religion will tell you is, you better straighten up. You better get your life back. You better come back to Jesus. What did the shepherd do in the story? He kept looking till he found the sheep. He kept looking. See, somebody I'm talking to here, you've drifted off a little bit. You didn't realize it, but when you're even looking at you, somebody just realized it just now, and you just drifted off a little bit. You didn't do it on purpose, but you just drifted and you drifted, and now all of a sudden nothing seems to be going right in your life. Now it seems to be no fellowship, no communication with God. You're just lost. That's a terrible way to feel, and you don't need somebody to beat you up, do you? You know what the shepherd did in the parable? He went looking. He went looking. You see, God went looking for you. He's looking for you. More than anything else, he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be your father and wants you to be his son or daughter. And what did he do when he found the sheep? Said he put him on his shoulder and carried him back to the fold. I'm hoping somebody here will let the Holy Spirit bring you back to the fold today. Bring you back to the Lord. Oh, I'm not talking about any certain church or any certain way anybody believes. I'm talking about back to Daddy. back to Father. See, you were so important that He's looking for you. You feel it in here. Somebody's already felt it in here. What is that? That's God's love in there. And He's pulling you. And He's pulling you. And He's pulling you. The next one was the lady lost a coin. Little widow lady lost a coin. And when she lost it, she became frantic. And she was sweeping. She turned on the light. She was sweeping. She was looking. She was trying to find that coin. Why? Because it was valuable. God didn't make you by accident. I talked to a lady the other day, and all her life, because her mother, she never had a dad, and all her life she had been told that she wasn't important. All her life people had looked down on her because of her situation. I told her, I said, you know what? I said, you weren't born by accident. It wasn't an accident. God made you on purpose. And you get to look in Ephesians, the second chapter, and it says that we were all created in Christ Jesus so that we could walk in all the good works that He prepared for us beforehand. That's His good works, not yours. That's why He made you. But can you see this lady? Can you see her as she's looking? Because why? Because this coin has value. The Bible said here, He's not slack concerning His promises. He doesn't want anybody to perish. That's why He hadn't came yet. He's waiting on you. Huh? Whoever you are, He's waiting on you. Huh? Valuable. Important, valuable. And notice the reaction whenever the lost sheep was found and the lost coin was found. It wasn't a religious folk attitude. Well, it's about time you got saved. Well, I knew He'd get you. No. It says they're rejoicing. All of heaven is rejoicing when just one person turns. Don't get hung up on this word repentance because I have to repent every day. Repent just means I quit going my way and I turn and go His way. Huh? Now how many are honest enough with me to know that I've done this? I've received Jesus as my Lord, but every day I still want to go my way. Because there's a way that seems right to me, but if I keep following that way, it'll lead my life to destruction. And so repentance just means when I catch myself in this mode here, I just go, Father, I'm sorry. I don't want that. I want what You got for me. If that's what You want me to have, fine. But I don't want my will, Father. I want Your will. That's repentance. Just turning. Hey, you can be saved on your way to heaven, you know, just whistling and still not be going after His purpose. Are you with me? Get with me and I'll quit. Ooh, that got you with me, didn't it? You see, He's coming after the lost sheep because it's important, coming after the coin because it's valuable. Don't you let anybody tell you you're not important. Don't you let anybody tell you you're not valuable. Don't you ever let it happen. When they do, you just push those thoughts out of there and say, no, I'm something special. God's made me for something special. God's got a purpose for my life. And I might be doing everything I can to mess it up, but I'm going to keep on trying, and He's going to get me on. You know, you can't mess up if you just keep trying. You can't lose if you just don't quit. You're going to end up winning. I love the last one because we've always called this the prodigal son. We all emphasized the son coming home. He finally realized how bad he was and the mistake he had made. And that's important. But you know what I see this parable as? This parable is the loving father. This parable is the way God receives us when we've just messed up. Huh? I was going to say screwed up, but people don't like me to say that. So I just messed up. Okay? So I didn't say that, right? So don't get mad at me. Don't say I'm cussing in the pulpit. When we've messed up, it shows. What happened? The son comes to himself. He comes to himself and he says, you know what? I mean, he squandered all his part of the dad's fortune that he'd given him. And they've partied and they've spent, and now he's broke and he's working and he gets so hungry he's in a pig pen and he's wanting to eat the pig food, the husk of the corn. He's there and he goes, you know what? He says he came to himself. He said, I've got to be the world's biggest idiot. He said, I'm here in this pig pen eating pig food. He said, the hired servants of my father are eating good. He said, so I think I'm just going to go back and I'm going to tell my father, hey, I don't deserve to be a son anymore, but if you would just hire me as a helper, if you just, I'll serve you, I'll be your hired help, because they're better off than I am. And he's got all this story rehearsed, and I love this story. Got all this story rehearsed. He's going home. Can't you see him? He's going back home, and he's saying, now I'm going to tell my father, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore, and I just want to be one of the servants, and I just want to be around. And he's rehearsing this thing all the way home. And he gets home, and Dad's looking out there and sees him. I like that because Dad was looking out there for him. He was watching for him. He was wanting him to come back. He was expecting him to come back. Just like your daddy's looking for you right now. He's watching you. He's seeing. But when the son started coming, said the dad ran out and grabbed him and hugged him. Now the son goes into this story he's rehearsed. I'm just so bad. I'm just so unworthy. I'm just so blah, 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 you know. He starts saying, Dad, I'm not worthy to be a son. I'm not all this stuff. You know what Dad does? He just blows all that off. Huh? He just blows it off. He just says, hey, go get some clothes to put on him. Hey, go get it. And the sons are going, but Dad, I'm not worthy. I'm not. He didn't even pay attention to that. He said, go get the ring and put it on his finger. Go get some shoes and put it on his feet. And go find that fattest calf out there and kill it. Because we're going to have a party. I don't know. I'm just here to say today that it really doesn't matter what's happened in your life or what you've been through or what you're going through now. God loves you and He wants to help you with that. He wants to do something big in your life. If you're not with Him, you know, listen, how... what would be worth missing heaven over? Huh? You know, the Bible says there, and I don't talk a lot about hell, but it says there, the fact that He said you'll have eternal life and you won't have to perish. The fact that He said, hey, I He's not willing that any should perish, must mean that some are going to perish. You see, God's made all this available to us and it's all free, but we have to receive it by faith. If you're not saved today, you have to by faith receive that free gift. Paul said, it's by grace that we're saved through faith. So if you're, you know, the Bible talks about hell and it talks about it's a place of darkness. It's a place of where there's wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. It talks as a place where of eternal punishment. It's a place where the fire never quits and the pain and the agony never stops. Folks, that's not a fairy tale. I talked with somebody the other day and they said, I just don't believe in hell. And I know you've all heard this, but I thought to myself, I said, well, you know, you won't be there but a few minutes till you'll change your mind. Huh? Paul, one time, I think it's in the 26th chapter or something of Acts, he was talking to King Agrippa, and he was telling this King Agrippa how to be a Christian, how to be saved. And King Agrippa said something. He said, almost, Paul, said, you almost have persuaded me to become a Christian. Can I tell you something? Almost will get you to hell. You almost convinced me. Now, this is what I was thinking about early this morning. I hope King Agrippa finally made a decision and became a Christian. I hope he finally received Jesus. But there's no record that he ever did. But now think about this. That was 2,000 years ago. If he didn't make a decision, he went to hell, and he's been in hell for 2,000 years. I'm sorry, but that just bothers me. I wake up in the night thinking about somebody having to go to hell, and I don't want anybody to go, and I don't want you to go, but I ask you the question, where are you going to be 100 years from now? Where are you going to be 1,000 years from now? Where are you going to be 2,000 years from now? We're all going to be somewhere. Huh? We're all going to be somewhere. Now, thank goodness, we don't have to go to that place. Thank goodness he made it possible so all of us could be saved. And if you're here today and you don't know that you're right, that's why you're here today. But I want to mention something else. If you're here today and you know you're going to heaven, but things in your life are upside down and you're in the middle of something and you just need God's help, I want you to know you can call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. You'll be saved from hell if that's what you need, but you'll be saved out of the hell that the devil's trying to put you through right now too. If you'll call on the name of the Lord. He's so good. He's so good. And we try to make it sound so hard and so complicated. I knew a doctor once, and it wasn't this doctor, but I knew a doctor once that when you went to him, he would build up all the stuff that was wrong with you. He'd build it up so much so that whenever you got well, you'd think he was a greater, bigger guy. You'd think he was something else. I wonder if that's not what we do as ministers. We try to make this so hard, so complicated. I talked to somebody the other day, and they didn't even know how to get saved. They said, well, I can't live that way. When I get my life straightened up, I get all this stuff. You know, that's all lies that the devil tells you. The only way the Bible teaches us to be saved is call on the name of the Lord. Huh? By faith, receive Him. That's not hard. You just say, Jesus, I want to be saved. Come into my heart. In fact, everybody say that. Jesus, I want to be saved. Come into my heart. Huh? I give you my life. Do something with it. That's not hard, is it? That's how simple it is. Everybody bow your head for a minute. How many here right now, if you were to die right now, you know that you're okay with the Lord. You know you're on your way to heaven. Raise your hand. You know that you're saved. Okay, put them down, and nobody look, because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But how many here today, if you were to die right now, you're not for sure. Nobody's looking. You're not for sure that you'd go to heaven, that you'd go be with God. If that's you, just raise your hand up. Thank you, sir. Who else? Who else? Come on, nobody's looking. If you're not for sure, raise your hand. Thank you in the back. Thank you, sir. Who else? Who else? Thank you, ma'am. Who else? Come on. Nobody's looking. You're not for sure that you'd go. Thank you. Now, while nobody's looking, I want to ask you to do something. Do you want to know? Are you serious about it? If you raised your hand, and maybe you didn't raise your hand, while nobody's looking, I'm just going to ask you to stand right where you are. Say, I don't know that I'm right, but I want to know. Did you mean it? Stand up. Thank you, sir. Who else? Come on, the rest of you raised your hand. Some of you didn't. Some of you didn't. Come on, who else? Won't somebody go stand with this man over here? Who else? In the back, you raised your hand. Do you want to know? Just stand up. Young person, you raised your hand. Do you want to know? Just stand up. Okay, let's lead these to the Lord. You got your eyes shut. You got your heads bowed. Let's lead them to the Lord right now. And if you're here and you don't know for sure you're saved, right now, just ask Jesus. Right now, say this prayer. Just say it out loud. Jesus, I want to be saved. I ask you to come into my heart. Save me right now. I give you my life. And I want to live it for you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. That's how simple it is. That's how simple it is. Now let me ask you while your eyes are closed, how many in here is going through something? You're going through some hard time. You're going through some battle. You're going through some stuff. Huh? How many want the Lord to help you with that? How many believe He will? As an act of faith right now, why don't you stand? Just stand and say, Lord, I need your help. You see, this same thing that said, He'll save you from going to hell. He'll save you out of what you're going through right now. So right now, right where you are, just say, Father, I need your help. Jesus, I'm giving you this load. I'm casting my care on you. I'm asking you for your help right now. I love you. You love me. So I receive it right now. I receive it right now. Now thank Him for it. Now thank Him for it. Now everybody stand. Everybody stand. Some of you ask Jesus into your heart, and some of you maybe just rededicated your life. But let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. If you did that, I'd like for you to come down here as soon as we dismiss here, and we'll say a real quick prayer with you and see if we can help you. Let me just say, you know, we're in some pretty tough times, and I hope everybody, if you got saved, if you asked Jesus into your heart, you need to do some things. You need to get baptized. You need to get filled with the Spirit. And you need to find yourself a local church, because you need to be around Christians. And you need to have a pastor that'll tell you the truth, and that'll love you, and that'll care for you. And I know many of you here, and if you need to be baptized today, we'll be baptized in after service. There'll be people coming from the parking lot after a while getting baptized. All you got to do is go up to somebody and say, hey, I want to get baptized, and we'll come baptize you. We got robes, towels, everything you need, okay? But they're getting ready to get the chili ready, so I'm going to let you go, okay? But let me just say this. Thank all of you for coming. And I know many of you have a local church that you go to, and you just came for this day, but also know that many of you don't go to church anywhere. It's so important As all this stuff's happening in the earth, folks, we need each other. And we need the Lord. And I'm sorry if you think the devil's going to slack off. He's not, because it's going to get more intense. But those of us in Christ, we're going to help each other. And we're going to prop each other up. And we're going to stand with each other. And we're going to believe with each other. And it's important for you. If you don't have a local church, I want to invite you to come be part of Central. We'd love to be your church, but I'd love to be your pastor. We probably won't do everything right, and we probably won't do everything that suits you, but we'll try to do everything the Lord shows us to do, and we'll try to help you. Okay? So that's important. And if you don't go anywhere, you need to, because you'll be like that sheep that just drifts away, drifts away, drifts away.